Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways! Oh.
Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
Cricket, eh? Bloody hell. Took a lot longer than we thought, or certainly wanted. But finally, the Aussies have their earn back, and the Triple M Cricket Podcast is here to take you through all the action from Day 5 of the Old Trafford Test. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
Very good morning to you, Rudy.
Yes, the air just smells a little sweeter today, doesn't it?
It's delightful.
Ethan Meldrum.
Happy ashes to you.
Oh, yes. And our resident pom, Matt Bellotti.
Hello and congratulations, everybody. I think great win.
The question...
Through gritted teeth.
On... I think it's fair to say, Bellotts, the question on everyone's lips is... Did Jack Leach out-bowl Manus Labuschagne?
Yes, nice. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yes, finally, Australia have a decent spinner.
Yeah, right.
Cool. Yeah, good for you.
I don't know.
The best 1 for 9 I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's kind of like that best one not out from the Headingley test, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really just an elite 1 for 9.
I hope you was practicing it like at the end of the day's play, just in the centre square.
Reenacting
that delivery.
I think he's more likely he was reenacting it in the dressing room, wasn't it, with a few beers?
Well, yeah, hopefully. did you see Steve Smith after the game, by the way? He'd commandeered a pair of glasses and was shadow batting left-handed in the middle of the pitch, taking a piss out of Jack Leach. It's good to know that he's actually human.
Yeah.
I was genuinely not sure.
Steve Smith batting left-handed would still be twice as good as any other batsman he'd only shown up this...
You don't average 55.
mediocre, barely respectable 55.
Yeah. So, who's gotten any sleep?
Bugger all.
Not a lot.
Yeah. I'm knackered this morning.
Yeah.
And, I'm coming off.
You, Peter?
I'll be feeling it in a few hours.
Yeah.
Productivity will be at an all-time low this afternoon in the Triple M offices. Yeah. I have a feeling
we'll
be holding on by
the
worst,
particularly with me around.
So the last wicket was taken at, I think, 3:14 a.m. Our time here in Melbourne. But the adrenaline that I'd put myself through, and there's no way I couldn't get to sleep before 4:30.
You were convinced we weren't
going to... I was utterly convinced at one point that when Wokes and Overton and Leach were together in that hour when they came together, neither of them looked remotely troubled by anything we'd thrown at them.
I just had the faith that we were going to create two chances. It was just a matter of if we held on to those chances or if we didn't burn our reviews or something stupid along those lines.
Nathan Lyon fluffs an easy run out.
Something like that. But we did create those chances. We held on to them and that's all she wrote in the end. So happy days.
Pretty much. And it was, we've waxed lyrical about Manus's 1 for 9 there. But that, to be fair to Tim Payne, who'd copped a lot of grief for how he'd captained in Headingley.
Very bold.
That was a really canny piece of captaincy because he'd clocked that these blokes were not worried by anything seam up
away
or the offie.
Yeah.
And then Manus comes on and you'd imagine that someone like Jack Leach, he probably hasn't really faced any leg spin of any real
substance.
Note for his whole career. And of that one, and then Manus was bowling so quick and fizzing, and it was just completely unlike any other delivery they'd faced. And it was just a bit too good for Jack Leach, really.
Particularly for a bloke who wasn't even close to selection in the first test. England is not thinking about facing Manus Labuschagne at all. It's not even part of the radar.
No.
Probably the same way Australia didn't develop any bowling plans to Jack Leach. They thought, he's the number 11 and he's not in the side.
He's a number 10 now.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was good to see Broad finally relegated. Yeah. Finally relegated to that.
Where he should be.
Meaning his rightful place.
Yeah.
And that was when Leach got out, it was like, well, there's no way Stuart Broad can't possibly put together 15 overs or something,
ball.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
To be fair, Jack Leach should just have more test runs this year than Jason Roy.
Yes, just about. Yeah, I would think so.
Well,
yeah.
Roy probably just shaded him with that 30-odd that he made. And
They'd both be battling for 100.
We'll start from the start. That's a good point, actually. We'll start from that first hour. There was about 80 or 90 minutes with no wicket and Denley and Roy looking resolute. And
uncharacteristically.
I wasn't too worried about Roy because I knew at some point his defence would fail him.
Yeah.
Because that's what it does.
We offered on the pod yesterday, I said if he was going to survive 100 balls yesterday, I would buy everybody that subscribed to the pod a beer. That's how confident I was being an Englishman that he wasn't going to do that.
At Triple M Cricket is where you want to send your DMs and stuff. Send us a screenshot of your subscription on the app.
If he plays and he survives 100 balls in the fifth test, I'll happily keep my pledge.
Oh, for a man that's banged on about cowardice all series.
He didn't survive 100 balls. You I can was still that confident yesterday. Do can't... subscribe on the app, and I'll happily buy people a beer if Jason Roy has any kind of test for you.
You can enter this one as late as you want. You can enter it after it actually happens. And Melody will buy you a beer.
We'll take all applications.
You can subscribe to this pod at like December 2020. And Melody will buy you a beer post-mortem.
After Labuschagne took that wicket, I've taken to calling him the Klerksdorp Kumble. That's his new name from now on. We want to get that trending. I want it. If you're listening to the pod, tweet at us. Tweet Triple M Cricket. Tweet Rudy Edsel. Hashtag Klerksdorp Kumble.
don't tweet Rudy Edsel.
No, do it.
Actually, don't let it Triple M Cricket with that sort of stuff.
There was a few times where it felt like the hope had been extinguished. Ben Stokes getting out was one of them. And how's him walking?
Yeah,
I get it.
Of all things, I did not expect that from him, of all people.
Well, remember he was trying to get him to take off the four runs in the World Cup final and stuff. So he does really genuinely appear to care about the integrity of the game and all that. But with how bad the umpiring's been in this series, you don't walk for anything.
No.
I think it was more a fact that it would have eaten 2 minutes out of the game if just to stay around and review. And as we saw it, it was 13 and a half overs. We were never getting 13 and a half overs in last night.
No.
The night before, the game had finished 24 minutes before the end of play. So that's how close we got to that being a draw. Way closer than it really seemed. And those 2 minutes, all right, so it wasn't a big deal in the end of it, but it might have been.
Yeah.
So that for me was the only reason he might not have done. But you know what? He knows he's hit it. He's just absolutely disappointed. You could see it. You know what sort of cricketer he is. He wears his heart on his sleeve. So it was the right thing to
wears
do.
Wears his heart on his knuckles.
Yeah. The only person to be more spewing about that would be Stuart Broad.
Yes.
Not walking in an Ashes test.
Well, have you learnt nothing? He's still got a little bit of Kiwi in him, I think, Stokesy.
Here's trouble.
Oh, hang on. We've been joined by a special guest here.
Hello, guys.
All right.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
It's good to see you.
Hey, Matt. How are you feeling today?
Matt.
I'm very well, thank you. I was just congratulating you and your fine country on a thoroughly deserved series win.
Righto. Is that it?
Well, that's about it. It's just lovely to see you.
No, it's good to see you too, mate.
Great.
You look like you've got a couple of things to say. The way that he's just strutted in here, he's got a couple of things.
There's going to be no Jofra Archer holding himself.
We found out that Jofra Archer is just a weak POS, didn't he?
Hang on.
He couldn't do anything. Got out to the greatest spinner of all time, the GOAT, with one of the best deliveries you'll ever see. All your spinner does is clean his absolute shithouse goggles before every ball because they're steamed up. Oh, spare us. We got one single and saved us the match. Mate, all we had to do was bat out another 35 overs and you would have won that test match, but no, or drawn that test match.
Some hero he is.
Do you know what the funniest thing is? Ian Healy, on the pregame, you could see, has had a rinse put through his hair. It's only the 13th most embarrassing thing from last night. After your 11 players and your dismal crowd, who the biggest thing they could celebrate is you not enforcing the follow-on. You guys are spazzers. We are so happy to have won this test match. Hit it, Busy.
He's walked off.
He's gone off. And I was just about to ask him where he was after Headingley when he couldn't make it. I guess he was too busy, were you, champ, to come in after Headingley. There you go.
He's genuinely gone.
So I can't even champ him properly because he's left the studio too quickly. What a shame. What a lovely, lovely outburst.
What do you have to champ him about? You've lost the Ashes.
I have to champ him. But where was he after Headingley? He was notable by his absence in this pod, wasn't he? Probably too busy.
Nah, he was busy. He's a busy man.
He is a busy man. It's lovely that he can spare his time to come in.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. A little reset needed, I think.
That's got me up and about.
Yes, that's true. I'm up and about.
Suck shit, Bullots.
As well.
More of it, I say.
Well, to be fair, all I will say about that is I don't feel too bad about yesterday at all. Last night was one of England's best days of the series, which probably says everything. I'm not even kidding. But when you look at the dismal performance England have given over the course of four tests, losing the day we lost the Ashes, essentially, was one of the better days. It was a very creditable performance.
Yeah.
We batted for over 90 overs. Most of them played really solidly. And we're facing an absolutely outstanding attack. And just to actually go back to Tim Payne, as I've given this guy a fair amount of shit over the course of four tests.
As have I.
As we all have.
Yeah.
Very fairly.
I'm on his team.
But I just want to to say three things that he did yesterday that were absolutely superb. His use of the bowlers was brilliant. Obviously, we talk about the Marnus coming on. We've mentioned that. That's a brilliant call. He also told that, I think it was Stark was at the top of his run-up yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said, no, hang on. I want Cummins on.
Yeah,
this
he swapped them over. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he took a wicket straight away. Mm. And there was a really smart bit as well. I think Stark took a wicket straight after drinks. He got Johnny Bairstow. Payne's captaincy yesterday was, and I was quite prepared to come in after yesterday and other periods of this and say that Steve Smith is captaining Australia because he's doing all the leadership. He's telling bowlers where to bowl. He went and picked the ball yesterday. But fair play, because Tim Payne, a genuine leader, he had a fantastic day yesterday and thoroughly deserved that success.
I was super impressed with the lessons learnt after Headingley.
He absolutely
let that game drift. He just sort of waited for something to happen for Australia. And this time around, there was absolutely none of that.
Yeah, it was quite crucial for us to win for Tim Payne's legacy, I feel. Because like if we had have let not only the Headingley test slip, but if this one had been a draw
too,
and then England somehow, you know, win the last one and then they, you know, regain the Ashes at home, and then it's like we lost the unlosable kind of, like we were in that, you know, we're in A1 the whole time. It's massive for his legacy that we got over the line there, and I'm happy for him, I reckon, because he's done the hard yards, and he's, you know, it's a thankless task what he's been given over the last 12 to 18 months, and this is the reward that he probably deserves, I reckon.
Yeah, as close as he was to retiring a couple of years ago, he was very close to being a transitional captain there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he still probably is.
But he's
going to go out an Ashes winner in England, which you can't say about Ricky Ponting or Michael Clarke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's the first bloke to do it since Steve Waugh.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's seriously impressive.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, the Aussies have dominated and are by far the better side, but there were so many opportunities for this to go haywire for the Aussies.
Yeah.
And for him, he never let the game sort of like settle into a rhythm, and I think that was part of the problem with Headingley was everything was just done on England's terms. Even when the Aussies were on top, like you sort of felt like England were dictating a little.
Yeah,
never felt like that last night to me, because every time it looked like, oh yeah, they're looking a little too comfortable, another bowler would come on, or Nathan Lyon would swap ends, or Marnus would come on, or you know. So it was a real triumph in his captaincy, and I've got to say the whole thing has been a bit of a triumph for Justin Langer as well, mm-hmm. because there was a lot of mirth around Justin Langer and his elite mateship, and you know,
it was elite
kind of stuff. Yeah,
it was elite coaching.
But they were just so much more canny about the way they did this. I remember going back to 2015, the Aussies had, remember, in 2013-14, obviously Mitch Johnson had just blown England off the park down here, all around the country, and they sort of thought they could swagger up to England and just do that again, and that's what happened there, was that we didn't give Siddle enough of a role, and then the game was lost in, you know, a session at a time or something where, you know, the ball's not doing enough for him, and then the England can get on top. This time around, none of that. Peter Siddle has played. Josh Hazlewood has played. Mitch Stark, this is his first appearance, and he's in the fourth test. Like, can you imagine Darren Lehman leaving Mitch Stark out of English pitches for three entire tests?
Playing a bowler that bowls under 140 k's an hour?
Yeah, exactly. Like making Siddle, you know, a part of the furniture. He's only played the two tests, but this, you have to say, this is an absolute triumph for Justin Langer.
Yeah. I think you can go back even further. The triumph for Cricket Australia and just the brains, the preparation that went into this series, to the point of using the Duke's ball and Sheffield Shield. Mm. This, it really mattered. You've got an attack that you could rotate without, if it wasn't even just without losing quality, it was actually an improvement. Every single change seemed to improve that attack. As you went through, it was very, very inspiring. I will say, just at the risk of being only giving him credit, Payne came very, very close to having his captaincy, us being very much on the other end of this argument. He was 24, 25 minutes away from not winning that game. And if you hadn't won the game, his captaincy would be untenable.
I agree with that. I think long-term his captaincy is probably not tenable anyway. It doesn't matter.
He's got one
now.
More summer in him, I think.
And exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter now. He might hold the nurse it for Steve Smith to come back. I don't know. That's
not a problem to
have right now.
About. Exactly.
I think also if you look at the English, the Aussie setup, like you've got serial winners in there helping out, like Steve Waugh amongst it, and Ricky Ponting, who is just, how good is he on television?
He's unreal, isn't he?
It's just his cricket brain. His cricket brain is so far advanced of anyone. At all, full stop, just about. Yeah. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got England, who I said on Twitter last night, that the Aussies deserve to retain this. Just a lot of it's just because they're just an actual functioning cricket side.
Yep.
So, I mean, the Aussies have a lot of...
The bare minimum of a cricket
they have
team.
They have a lot of issues. The Aussies, like the top order's contributed almost nothing. Steve Smith is papering over cracks the size of the Mariana Trench. and then, obviously, like, it's a... You know, Matty Wade's not really buckled down at six.
He's
and
had his
whatever,
moments, though,
but at least at least you can look at them and go, well, you can see what they're doing. There's two openers, there's a three, there's a four, there's a five, there's a six.
Yep,
wicketkeeper, and then you look at England's batting lineup. Josh Butler is in the team as a batsman, batting at seven behind both the all-rounder in Stokes and the wicketkeeper in Bairstow,
and the debutant, in Jason Roy. Like,
that's right, and then they've had issues with the openers, and instead of making a significant change, they've just shifted the four to the opener and then put the opener at four. They've got a world-class number four batting at three.
Yeah.
What's the plan here? What are they doing? They're a one-day siding. What?
A bloke who clearly cannot bat three, I think we've found out.
It's really hard for him to bat three, given how well he bats at four, why on earth is he at three?
Yeah.
Well, because someone had to put their hand up, and as captain, he felt he had to, and he's pretty much mentally broken him.
To his own detriment.
He looks shattered. The shots of him, even when England were putting together that rear guard action, he just looked like
cooked.
The Poms are so much better off, you know, having Joe Root come in at maybe 2 for 15, 2 for 20, which is probably the most likely result with, you know, Denley, Roy,
one of them, Burns,
And Burns is a top three. Let them soak up, you know, 10 overs or so, and then have Joe Root come in when the pressure's a little bit more off and the ball's not moving so much, because he's the best number four you got.
The ball from Cummins on the end of day four was like that is a symbol of Joe Root's entire series.
Yeah,
like it's. You're going to get those if you're coming in the first over. You're just going to get those sometimes. Pat Cummins is the best bowler in the world. I think the ICC ranking points have him as like the fifth best bowler of all time at the moment.
He looked amazing
yesterday.
Absolutely.
He's got the best strike rate of any Aussie bowler by a mile.
Yeah. And
striking every 45 deliveries.
There was nothing he could do there. And then his test is over with a day to play. Yeah. And it's I don't know. I don't know what England's long-term plan is.
As we're taking a step back and picking apart where the respective teams are, it's well worth noting, A, the amazing preparation that Australia have done, how much they've prioritised this. But you do have to take into account where England are in their life cycle. This is the end of a life cycle for England, and it's a life cycle where they focused on one-day cricket. Everything England have done schedules for 3 years has been to try and get performances in the 50-over cricket, and therefore, they haven't prioritised the test side. It's absolutely visible, like you say, Roots, that is a one-day side that's been turned into a makeshift test team. You've got a coach in his last series who is a one-day coach, and as a result, we need to look very seriously at who the next generation is. We're planning for the next Ashes now, and it's whether that comes into the fifth test or we do it after and the tours. But this team is at the end of its life, and that's probably worth bearing in mind. We're being too harsh on them.
So, question without notice: you've clearly prioritised white ball cricket and trying to win the World Cup. Should they have prioritised, like, obviously it paid off and they won the World Cup, but should the Ashes have not been the number one priority at all times? For Australia, I guess that probably was. Like, but that it's easier to do as from Australia's perspective because we've won the World Cup multiple times.
Yeah, that's exactly it, mate.
And England haven't, but do you sit on that? Where should the priorities lie?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really great question, Beersy, and I guess there's two answers to that. One is, as you say, England have never won the World Cup. It's really difficult maybe for Aussies to get their heads around that because you won it five times and that's pretty greedy. But we've never won anything, pretty much. England have never won something in that space. And we're hosting it. And we've put all of our eggs into the one basket. When you plan and hope to achieve something, it's so important that you do it. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is, I guess I saw a poll at the start of this English summer, before the World Cup even started, and the question was asked, would you rather win the Ashes or the Cricket World Cup? And it came out, it was a lot closer than I thought. It was about 55, 56% in favour of winning the Cricket World Cup. And I spent a long time debating and considering it and realised that actually you kind of have to say the Cricket World Cup. Because you've never won it before, and you've put all of you've got a coach specifically designed, you've got a captain designed, you've designed your whole team and planned 3 years for this one thing. What England now need to do is say, right, we've done that. Screw 50 over cricket. It doesn't matter. We go for the next Ashes. We come down here with a functioning team, a proper 11, an attack that we can rotate in and out the way you have, and a coach that can actually play five-day cricket.
Imagine if they'd actually won the Cricket World Cup.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
The asterisk.
England would burn.
The infamous tie of 2019. Yeah,
it's
like,
they're going to end up changing the rules because England won the Cricket World Cup. you're right, though. I mean, they've obviously put all their eggs into that basket. And I guess you got to ask the question, you're a POM. What is more beneficial for the long-term health of the game in England, winning the Cricket World Cup in front of your own fans, or winning the Ashes? I think it's the World Cup.
Well, it is. However, actually, from what I can tell from here, the excitement of Headingley final day was matched anything of the Cricket World Cup, which is like that's the shiny trophy.
But that was
a one-off test.
But the World Cup walked so Headingley could run, you know.
Correct. Yeah. That's a very fair point. It is a difficult one because you're obviously a bit gutted today from an English cricket point of view. But the reality is that England in no way were anywhere near functioning. You're right. As a unit, they're not really there. And Australia really are. I mean, Australia are a good side and deserve to win in every field of the game.
I think it's fair to say, like, you look at this Australian side and there is probably three all-time greats in it. Like, certainly Steve Smith already.
Yep.
And then Pat Cummins, I'm 100% positive where we're.
Agreed.
What he did yesterday was just ridiculous.
And Marnus, and then, obviously.
Well, yeah, Marnus.
Clearly.
He's going to have 350 test wickets and 10,000 runs. But I think Nathan Lyon, he's going to end up taking probably 550 wickets. And, you know, he might end with an average of 32 or 33. Mm. But you take that many poles, you can end up in the top five or six of all time. Hard to say not. And so, naturally, they just look a level above. I mean, we haven't had much. I'd hate to throw you a bone here, Bloody. We haven't had much out of Nathan Lyon this series. He was pretty. He's unhappy with his cut finger or something yesterday. And
yeah, he's been pretty tame.
He's been pretty tame.
Well, he looked like in the first test he was going to rip this series apart, and he just hasn't quite lived up to that since.
And there just isn't that caliber of player in this England side. Ben Stokes is obviously, you know, a talisman.
Yeah.
Joe Root is like he's a rung or two below Smith now. And then probably Stuart Broad. Stuart Broad, I suppose, as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Aussies are just a fair bit more complete. I just don't understand why England didn't do more rejigging when it's been so, like, the problems have been the same in all of the four tests.
Yeah.
And they've gone with the same top seven every time.
And dropped Chris Wokes.
Yeah.
Like, who is, admittedly, he probably hasn't had his best series, but he still averaged 29 with the ball, took 9 wickets. Like, it's not... He wasn't a liability, and he didn't need to be dropped.
And the other thing,
he had so much depth to that team.
The other thing was that when they needed wickets in that second dig, Overton, you know, like he's a container and stuff. But Steve Smith was in full Steve Smith mode.
Yeah,
he's not getting out to Craig Overton when he's trying to make third innings runs.
He might get out to Jofra Archer.
Yeah, exactly. But he's
if he's bowling 95 even
when
an hour,
even when he's playing shots, like, Craig Overton just is not. He's just way, way better than him. And I don't know. We could debate England's selection all we want.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say they're a bit of a mess. You've got a coach and leadership that aren't quite there because their focus has been distracted in other areas. And the best way to describe it from an England point of view is to not be too downbeat. We've been beaten by a much better side, and this is a fresh start.
Yeah.
So there's the England team that come and tour here next time in the Ashes is going to be very, very different. And what England need to do is to apply the same focus, the same strategy, and the same kind of goal focus of what do we want to be here as a unit that they've applied for the last 3 years to their one-day team, to the test team, and finally we'll be competitive again.
Yeah. I don't think it's not far away. Mm. Like, if they start planning for the next Ashes now in England, it's just a fair bit of generational change.
Surely a Dom Sibley's got to come in.
You'd think Sibley. You'd think there's as we talked about, John Crawley's son Zach's doing okay. Ollie Pope's around the squad. Ollie Pope's a good young batter.
Can we get Moeen back?
Did you see what he did the other night?
In the blast.
In the blast, you 100 or 40 balls or something. It's unbelievable.
You've got to get him back in, mate.
That's the most Moeen thing.
That's the best,
ever.
The best English batting display of the summer.
Yeah. 100% is.
He should open.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
Well, he was opening.
Yeah.
and first
ready
change.
Made.
So do you foresee wholesale changes to the Oval, or will they just kind of try and nurse this mob to the end and just take a 3-1 loss? Or do they try and score some...
My worry is I think England think, the England cricket team think that this has been quite a close series. And I know it sounds mad.
Actually, you know what? They're probably looking at and saying, if they didn't have Steve Smith.
Well, no, not even that. I think they'd look at it and say, and it really is worth saying, what an extraordinary contribution Marnus Labuschagne has made to this series. Mm. If it weren't for his sticking around at Lord's, England were running through you guys in the last day there.
Big time.
Suddenly that becomes 1-1. If we then have the heroics at Henderson, these are a lot of ifs and if my aunt,
the butterfly flapping their wings and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, but the point being is that if that were there, we were only 25 minutes off yesterday a draw. In England cricket teams' minds, you might be looking at this going, oh, we could be 2-1 up here. Yeah. Now we all know that's absolute crap. That wasn't what the case was at all. If anything, if Australia had just turned the dial up a little bit, Australia would probably be in this situation being at least 3-0 up, if not possibly even 4.
Played this series with these two sides in Australia, Australia would be 4-1.
100%.
Unless we had another MCG pitch that's maybe a pudding pasted over a road.
So I guess
that slab of punt road into the centre of the MCG.
So to answer your question, I guess if England are looking at it thinking, oh, we're pretty close here, you know, and a few of the guys stuck around with a bit more application, and it's Bayliss's last test, so what's the point? They might well make 1-2 changes, but for the Oval with it, but I wouldn't. I'd think they should look at it there.
Yeah.
It's gone. Let's look at how we want a touring party to look. Let's give a chance to the likes of Ollie Pope, maybe a Dom Sibley.
I'd be minimum looking to punt Roy, Bairstow and Butler. I'd be looking to get those three out of the side and just check out, see how the other a couple of other blokes can go in that spot.
This is exactly what the Aussies did in 2013 when they were 3-0 down after 4. Mm-hmm. They brought in, they had a look at James Faulkner.
Steve Smith
made his first test century, made 138, and 6 months later they won the Ashes 5-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because they freshened up the team. They had a look, okay, Steve Smith's obviously a good bat. Yeah. We'll play him for the 5 tests.
Shuffled the deck,
and then everything clicked.
Yeah, that would be my preference. I think England are very desperate not to let you guys win the series, and they might feel that the best way of doing that is sticking with what they have. I don't agree with that, but I fear that's what they're going to do.
I reckon we could be looking at a 90s-esque dead rubber when the Aussies really party extremely hard and the Poms knock them off in the fifth test.
But then the thing is surely the interest is, can Steve Smith score that 303?
What I think Australia should do is bat first and just let Steve Smith just go. And
absolutely.
See, we're not going to declare. Just do whatever you want.
You can make 800.
Yeah.
You can bat for 4 days.
Yeah, Brian Lara can piss off.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not 400, it's 501 we're looking at.
100%. The Aussies on the other side of the coin, Beersy and Heater. We'll wrap up soon. I know this has gone long, but we've won the Ashes, so who cares?
Who cares? It's all about us.
This has probably saved Dave Warner's bacon.
Yeah, wouldn't mind seeing him get dropped.
I wouldn't mind seeing him get dropped either, but I just don't think they're going to do it. No. And I also reckon...
Three zeros in a row,
Also reckon that he might peel off a first session ton or something.
Massively.
You know,
like massively
that
the
is
cards.
Hugely Warner areas.
Yeah.
There's nothing
dead rubber. Yeah,
there's nothing he likes more than when the chips are up. And the track is flat,
I thought that yesterday, and then he made another duck.
His front's to the wall,
and Broad will break down.
You can see it all
first
in front of him.
Session of the day, he bowls, does a Jimmy Anderson and breaks down, and then Warner's just got Overton and bloody Jack Leach to face for a day.
Yeah,
plunders them everywhere.
Absolutely, Stokes' shoulders busted as well.
Yeah.
It's all happening. It's like when Shane Watson at the Oval in 2013 as well. You can just see it on the cards.
Yeah, didn't he make that day 170?
He put it on the sword.
I also reckon they'll be tempted to play Mitchell Marsh.
Yeah, I actually think they should.
Well, I don't think they should, but I think they'll be tempted just because the bowlers have done
the bowlers
so
are
much
cooked,
of the heavy
lifting. And we don't probably need... I mean, the batsmen have done their job there. Like, Matty Wade's done his job.
Yeah.
You just have a spell, mate. And then
trying to
Mitchell Marsh. I also don't mind the idea of getting a test into him in England, because he's going to... We're all down on Mitch Marsh, but he's going to play a lot of test cricket for Australia.
He already has played enough.
But he is going to play more. And he is... he's not a bad cricketer, I don't think. I have a lot more...
He's just not a test
cricketer. I have a lot more stock invested in Mitch Marsh.
He'd bat at four for England, if that's what he's
saying. Yeah, we'd be three of them, really. I think if you want to play Cummins and Hazelwood, again, straight on the back of this test, you probably do need Marsh to play.
You've made the point a couple of times, Blotz, if they're going to play Stark at all, you probably need Marsh to play, to be honest.
So no Paddo then?
Well, I'd give Paddo a roll.
Yeah, I'd probably just say, you know what, mate,
and give maybe
Cummins a rest.
I'd like to give Cummins a rest, but I reckon that he'll say no. I've got through all this, and he'll be looking at 30 wickets in the series and stuff. I'd probably give Cummins a rest, and I'd just say to Paddo, like, mate, just tear in, really just tear in, and try and leave some psychological scars on these guys because they're going to be back in a couple of years,
and just get some momentum coming back to Australia for the Aussie summer. Yeah. Like, and just go, geez, remember that last test in England where he went and just ran through them.
Mitch Marsh made 180.
I reckon Pat Cummins would be dirty on that.
I think he would be as well.
After not playing test cricket for 6 years, finally, you know, getting his body right, but becoming the best bowler in the world. His mind's not winning the Ashes so much, it's playing five tests.
I think he's the one bloke as well that you say, what do you want to do? And whatever he says, you just go for it, champ. Just
Did you just champ Pat Cummins? You champed
the best bowler in the world.
Not to his face. No one tell him.
You have Joe rooted that one.
Coward. Pat Cummins, he's a marvel, isn't he? Yeah. I just love the guy so much. It was a great day. I think that more or less does us. No, we were going to run through some of your reactions from the Triple M Cricket various socials. Actually, I'm going to let you read the first one, Bilotti.
Oh, is this like mean tweets?
Yeah, it is.
I don't really doubt in this. Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, well, yes, obviously do send us all your messages at Triple M Cricket. Thank you very much to Wayne Cross. Finally, some order restored. Cop that, you pack of soap dodgers.
So much better him.
Once more with feeling, Bilotti.
And then we've got. Should I just do the rest?
Yeah,
there's only three.
Okay.
Thanks to Christian Page. You're a top fan of Triple M Cricket. Good on you, Christian. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home. Yeah, thanks for that. That was the song that I was singing around the office during the World Cup of football. So I think, after the World Cup. I've walked into that one. Yep. Then we've got John Moss. Suck eggs, whinging pommies. And five exclamation marks, as if it wasn't clear enough.
He's very passionate about pom sucking eggs.
And last, Jason Davis, how's all that booing of Steve Smith worked out for you, dopey pommy bastards? and you know what, guys? I've got nothing. Congratulations, well done.
Oh boy. All right, I think that wraps up.
What a note to finish on.
Wrap. Yeah, couldn't have gone much better than that. Thanks, Blotz.
You're a good sport. Very welcome. Well done, everyone.
You're a good sport.
Cop that, dopey.
I couldn't resist, but this is how we need to wrap this one up. Sandwich. He said, I come from an unknown